This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world with your host, premier dating mentor and coach, Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Also featuring Ann Wade, our soulmate expert from soulmatedance.com.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
Thanks for joining us this evening. We are continuing our summer of sizzling sex over here. I call it something different every time, but
that's okay. They all know what it's about.
Yeah, it's all about sex for this July.
Yes, the weather is hot and steamy, and we figure it should be inside your dating life as well.
Absolutely. Plus, we talk a little bit about sex on the show, but we've never really given it an entire month to itself. So.
And we thought it was deserving.
Yeah.
Probably deserves even more than a month, but let's start with what we have, shall we?
Yeah. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about some sexual chemistry.
Right on.
How to get it if you don't got it, finding it, keeping it, that sort of thing.
Maybe a little about what exactly that means.
Yes.
I think the term chemistry can be a little bit misleading. From a scientific point of view.
I think so, too. And you mentioned something about there being pheromones, and you don't necessarily believe in pheromones.
Well, it's not a belief so much, but there's no scientific proof that at the human level pheromones work. We know it works with
animals
and insects and things like that. But, I mean, science, which granted has not given up looking, but, I mean, we can detect particles that can pass through the earth without hitting a single piece of matter. We can find stuff that small, and yet we can't find any actual kind of human pheromone. So I think we like to have excuses for why we do things. Oh, it's the pheromones. It's just like saying it's tryptophan, which is what makes you fall asleep
after eating turkey.
Thanksgiving dinner, even though that's really not technically tryptophan causing that. But anyway.
Well, there you go. We're also going to help out a listener tonight.
Fantastic. We try to do that every week pretty much.
Yes, we do.
But we got a good one here.
This one came to me a while back, and I think I answered this person back in an email, but I thought it'd be fantastic to do on the show because this person is struggling with online dating a little bit, and they're kind of having the same thing happen over and over again.
Well, they're clearly the only person who's having a problem with online dating because everyone else is just hitting it out of the park, aren't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right? So, yes.
Those 40 gazillion people that are on Match.com, yes.
They were only on there to find one date. They found
it.
They're all matched
up
perfectly. It's a piece of cake.
But this person's having issues with kind of having this idea of somebody who texts and then calls and then they meet and then it's done. So they're kind of wondering why this keeps playing out time and time again. And I've got some thoughts about this, and I'll also ask you your guy's opinion on it as well. And we're also, in our final segment tonight, we're going to talk about some relationship advice from therapists. We do kind of like to lean on some experts on this show, people that have a little bit of a different look. And so I found this interesting article that has advice that therapists give couples all the time. So I thought it was pretty cool. So we'll talk about that.
Fantastic.
So, and what are we straight talking about
today? We're going to talk about beta males.
Beta males.
Beta males. Not to be confused with beta max. And I know what your concern is going to be, and I will address it.
Well, no, I was going to say that is also one of those things where it's a confusion about the actual what it means.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I hope you'll address that a little bit.
I absolutely will. That is the majority of what it's about.
Fantastic. Well, without further ado, let's skip on into that listener question. We're not even going to start with, sometimes we have a funny article, and I just couldn't find anything this week that I liked. Everything was just depressing and
actually, the most interesting thing all week has been actually kind of building up over the last few weeks, and it really has nothing to do with relationships except for maybe our relationship in the universe, and that is the approach to Pluto. I am psyched for that.
Really?
I love science. I love astronomy and this thing zooming towards this dwarf planet or whatever we want to call it.
Because it wasn't a planet and now it is again.
It was a planet. Then they made it not a planet.
It's
still not a planet.
It's still
considered a dwarf planet because of that whole clearing asteroids out of its way that they decided to add to the definition. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. We're not part of that organization that gets to make those decisions. But NASA is kind of not fully accepting of the term of it not being a full planet. But anyway, I'm just excited to see the pictures that come out of it and what they learn. I just think it's amazing that we were able to get this grand piano size device so far away, and it's still able to communicate with us and send back amazing pictures and data and everything else it's doing. It's just, when you see all the crap that happens in the world, and then you see that we can do stuff like that, it gives you hope. It gives me hope.
Gives you a lot of hope. Absolutely.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But we're going to jump right into this listener question. Why don't I read it?
Hopefully give this listener a little bit of hope.
That's right. This is online dating related. Someone determines mostly, not completely, by your profile pic that they are interested. They initiate contact, email for a couple of days, text, call daily for a while, talking sometimes for hours at a time. They meet you, and within one date determine they are not attracted. This has played out time and time again for me. Why does this happen?
Well, I have a couple of
theories
as to why this happens. And you're right. This does happen time and time again. And so if you're out there listening, this doesn't just happen to you. This happens to a lot of people. When I was online dating, I had this happen to me a lot as well. That's one of the reasons that I didn't do the whole call on the phone for 2-3 weeks and text them every day. I didn't do all that stuff. It was like, you like my pictures and my profile. We texted a little bit. We got to know each other a little bit. Maybe we had a phone call, but I didn't let that drag out. It was like we met for coffee or something pretty quickly. I didn't drag all the phone calls, because what that does is it creates a false sense of intimacy when you do that. You feel like you know somebody. Oh my God, we've been texting and calling for 2 weeks. I totally like knew him. No, you didn't. You've been texting and calling for 2 weeks. That's all. So that's my first soapbox of this.
Right. I'll add to that in that they say only 7% of human communications is verbal. The rest of it is nonverbal. So body language and things like that. And you've had none of that. All you've had is the 7%. If you only got at max. So if you only got 7% of this person's communication, that's 93% of them you don't know. So there's no way you can say, I know that person so well, because you've missed 93% of their messages.
Even if you're talking for hours at a time, I know that makes you feel like you know who that person is, but you really don't. And then it goes on to say that you go out on that date or whatever, and then they realize that they're not attracted. Well, that's because, and we're going to talk a little bit about this when we talk about sexual chemistry tonight, is because there's different kinds of chemistry. Now, when I was reading up on some of these articles and stuff that I was looking through to come up with tonight's show, they talk about, I believe it was 5 different types of chemistry, or maybe it was 4. It was sexual, it was sexual,
physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual.
So they had 4.
Right.
I'm going to add another 5th one to that, and I'm going to say technology. Because we can have great chemistry with somebody over text messaging. We may even have great chemistry with somebody over the phone. That does not always translate into in-person chemistry, which is why after that first date, it doesn't go anywhere. Because you probably don't have that in-person chemistry with the person. Either they didn't feel it and you did, or neither one of you feel it and you just don't want to admit it, or whatever that is. But just because you text with somebody and you talk with them on the phone doesn't mean that when you meet them, you guys are going to have that in-person chemistry. It just doesn't always happen that way. And unfortunately, and I know people don't like it when I say this, but it is a fact of life that online dating tends to be a numbers game. One of the reasons that it tends to be a numbers game is because there's so many choices. We didn't date 50 people back in the day because we didn't have 50 people probably that we knew in our circle to do that. But now we can, because we have these fantastic little boxes in front of us that pull up people's profiles and we can look at them, and we can have a different date every night if we want to.
But the handful of dates that you were getting prior to the online dating, you had to meet them the hard, more in-depth way.
Right.
Which, so I think it is a numbers game, but also it's, I think at the end of the day, let's say if online dating, you date 100 times in a year, and if you did it the old-fashioned way of, you know, waiting for someone, you know, meeting someone just through, you know, going to the supermarket or taking a class or at work or something like that, or someone introducing you, you may only have 5 people that you get to date in that year. But I bet at the end of the year, if you counted the number of good people that you had dates with, they'd probably be the same thing. You just wasted a lot of time with online daters filling up the numbers.
It's possible. That is very possible. And I think it depends on what the person that's doing the dating is kind of looking for and everything as well. But I would say that this scenario that this person wrote in about is very typical. This happens all the time. People, I think really here in this issue is that people, they get to know each other through technology, or they think they do, and then when they meet, it's not really what they thought it was going to be. So that's probably why this is happening.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who, because of technology, and I'm not blaming technology so much, but technology gives us a great chance, to talk with people all over the world that we never had an opportunity before, but it does have, every positive has a negative, right? And from a negative point of view, I think there's that whole idea of it makes it so easy to get such a shallow connection with right. somebody, but that's where we're getting so used to that now, because we're making these multiple, higher number, lower quality connections all the time. And then when we get out in person, face to face with someone, I don't know that we're developing the skills as much as we used to, because that's all we had back before. Now, yes, you're still sitting in class with people if you're a young person or going to school, although how much of your time is spent paying attention to them versus using your cell phone to text with people who aren't there. I think our face-to-face time just in general is so much less that we're losing those skills. And bad, good, or otherwise, it's going to have an impact. And until we kind of learn to deal with that, this is, I think, the kind of result you're going to see, is that people suddenly get together and, yeah, they have not developed anything, and they may be quick to dismiss it, and they really don't know exactly, all right, how do I go through a 3-hour date with someone and work on establishing a connection with this person when I usually can just dismiss someone in, 140 characters or less?
This is true. The other thing that I would even add to that is when you get with somebody, say you've been emailing and texting and talking on the phone, and then you meet in person, I've had actually people say to me, we didn't have anything to talk about because we'd already talked about it on the phone for whatever. And for whatever reason, it was like they met each other face to face and then they couldn't really have a conversation anymore.
Right. You haven't established enough connection yet so that you can kind of develop things to talk about on your own.
Right.
Those first few dates are usually where you start going through the history of yourselves and kind of start revealing a little bit of yourself. You've done that without the feedback loop, really, of seeing body language and whatnot, and now you're left with nothing left.
And I would also say that if you're someone who, again, who's finding that this is happening a lot, the good thing about this is that you're meeting, that you're getting with to that one date and you're realizing this isn't what I wanted. You're not getting 5 months in, 3 months into dating somebody and then realizing that, oh, wait, this wasn't what I wanted. You're actually finding that out on one date. That's what dating is supposed to be. It's about meeting people, getting to know them, and seeing if you want to get to know them even better. And in these cases, you're probably connecting with people through technology that really aren't going to be good for you without the technology. They're probably not going to be right for you. Right. And I would say that it's a good way to weed people out that really aren't going to be a good match for you.
Yeah. I mean, when you're texting with them or talking on the phone, you can't see that they're drooling down the front of their shirt or scratching their butts or, watching porn at the same time or whatever it is that is going to drive you nuts when you actually start hanging out with them in person.
Or, they may have taken some really great photos and then they get to the place where they're at and maybe they dress very sloppy or, he shows up in a stained t-shirt or she shows up and her hair's all a mess or whatever. And those are just kind of superficial.
Her dress is tucked into the back of her pantyhose.
Yes, that is quite mortifying when that happens. That's why you shouldn't wear pantyhose. But only one of the reasons you shouldn't wear pantyhose. But I think there's myriads of reasons why this could be happening. But I would definitely say that it's probably that you're finding that you're connecting with somebody in a superficial technology level. And when you meet them in person, you don't have that in-person chemistry. So what you want to do is don't spend so much time on the technology. If you see somebody and you guys have a couple of good texts and a couple of good phone conversations, or maybe one good phone conversation, meet quicker. And it doesn't mean you have to go for a 5-hour date, and it doesn't mean that it has to be at Hall's Chop House, and it has to be all expensive, and some great grand thing. go meet at Starbucks for a cup of coffee and have a real life conversation face to face to see if you have that face to face chemistry.
Right. Pick up a couple of Krispy Kreme donuts and meet at the park.
Right. Right.
You can do that too.
Walk your dogs at the park.
There you go.
There you go. So there you have it. Let us know. We'd love to know what happens. You know, nobody ever writes in and tells us what happens. Yeah, I would love for them to write us in and tell us what happens. We're always waiting
for that. And here's what happened when I followed your advice.
Yes, tell us what happened. So we're going to have to move on from that and go on with Straight Talk with Steve. What you got going on with the beta males?
We're going into the beta males.
There's something going round that doesn't let me feel at ease. It's creeping like the plague. It's going to bring me down to my knees.
The other day, someone had posted a question asking about, you know, how do they change from being a beta male? They were a beta male. They couldn't, you know, date. They were couldn't, you know, attract girls or anything like that. When they were in bars, they would just kind of clam up and everything. And I think the community that we were involved in and discussing about that, most people actually kind of came out all in the same way, which is, first of all, to stop with the whole alpha male, beta male bullshit, because there are behaviors that you can say are alpha or beta, but a person is not one or the other. We are not wolves living in packs. We're human beings in large societies. And when you just ascribe those characteristics to yourself, you really end up limiting yourself in some way and predefining yourself. Everyone I know who has said, you know, I'm a beta male, I'm doing, you know, beta this, or I'm an alpha male, in some situations you have very positive alpha type qualities. It may be when you're with your best friends, you're the kind of guy who is always kind of, come on, guys, let's go do this. Then in a completely other situation, and you will follow somebody else who is more alpha or whatever. It's not like you're it constantly all the time. You constantly vary based on the situation that you're in. And just thinking about yourself as, I'm just a beta, I can't do anything, is just holding yourself back. It all comes down to, like this person who was asking about having trouble with women. Yes, he is having trouble with women, lacking confidence in that one area. That does not make him a beta male. He just has some confidence issues only in that one area. I bet if you went to where he worked and you were in a meeting with him, he would be able to define what the problem is he's seeing, what he thinks should fix it. He's not beta through and through. There is no such thing. We use these as categories to help discuss things, but they're fake. They're not... You can't just, humans are not black and white like that. You can't just throw them into a single category and say, you are an alpha and all the world will follow you and you have nothing to, you know, nothing to worry about, and you are a beta and you are lost for all eternity. That is not the case in any way. And separating yourself from that self-image will give you a lot more ability to go and make changes where you need to change them, and also recognize the places where it's obviously a load of crap, where you obviously do have those alpha qualities, the ability to lead, the ability to show confidence in what you're doing. Whether some people are just confident maybe when they're playing video games, well, that is still confidence, and maybe it's a matter of figuring out, all right, how do I keep that same feeling of confidence when I go to do something else that scares me? And that's taken the big leap. And that is Straight Talk with Steve.
It seems my stupid mouth is going to get me into trouble again. My charm has set the trap. He's reaching for the shovel, says he's digging my grave. But the more I try to rest...
Very, very good. I think a lot of men do get caught up in the alpha male versus the beta male, but I think there's a lot because of
you read the articles. I mean, the pickup artist community obviously is a huge contributor to that because they get big into that whole stuff, but they try to define things in a way that it just does not match up with reality.
Well, and it's so interesting that I hear a lot of women, you know, I'm attracted to the alpha male. But when it comes right down to it, they want a guy that's going to do everything they say. Well, that's not an alpha male.
Right.
Alpha males don't do everything you tell them to do. They're not lapdogs. And so you'll have women who think they're attracted to the confidence and the whatever, and they want the guy who's really confident, but they also want the guy who's going to do what he's told and shut up. And I think sometimes that we give off, you know, mixed signals.
But I think in a case like that, though, you can easily have a man, or maybe not easily, because confidence is not an easy thing. I guess that's a little dismissive of me to say it's easy. It's not. Anything that I feel confident in now is based off of lots of hard work at feeling confident. I did not grow up as a confident kid. I had plenty of self-image issues and I think most of us do growing up. We're always trying to figure out where we belong and look better than we currently feel. And so it's not an easy thing. But when you do see the guy who is, all right, what we were trying to call alpha male, that confident guy who's out there, first of all, he worked at that. But B, he may also, just because he can be confident, he can also be confident in himself to say, you know, I don't have to control right here. I can do what, you know, she wants to go to this. I don't have a problem doing what she's asking me to do because I don't see it as any kind of judgment on my self-worth. I'm going to do it because I want to do it, because it makes her happy to do it. So I don't think, now obviously if he loses that sense of confidence in why he's doing it though, I mean, you can, I think, tell when a guy is kind of sucking up or doesn't have that self-confidence in doing it. If he lost his mojo in some way or had been faking it and never quite gotten to the point where he truly believed it, that's, I think, different. But I think you'll
find, that comes off as not being genuine.
Right, exactly. But I think you will find guys who, they do display those traits of confidence and then they get into a relationship and, all right, so maybe the woman is, I want to do this. And he could easily be like, okay, that's fine. You know, he doesn't have to make the decision all the time, but it comes from a place of confidence of,
I can let somebody else make it. Yeah.
I'm doing it because I'm fine with that, not because I have to, because that's the only way you're going to like me.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. It's depending on where that allowing comes from. If it comes from a weak place of, oh my God, I can't make any decision, I can't do this, or it comes from a place of, I'm okay letting somebody else make the other decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, and I think people on an energy level, we can feel that. We can feel where it's coming from a lot of times. So with that, I think we're going to have to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some sexual chemistry. So don't go away. You are listening to
My Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Right, welcome back. This is Jody Riley with my co-host
Stephen Cardinal,
and you are listening to
Mod Love.
You are probably listening to us on modloveradio.com, although you might be listening to us on Kinetic Hi-Fi or Bandit Radio FM.biz. See, I said it.
There you
it
go.
Just took me a minute to get it out. But however you got to us, we're very glad you found us. And remember, if you are checking us out on iTunes, remember to subscribe and leave us a review, good, bad, or ugly. We don't really care. Just leave us a review so that we'll know if you like it and we know how to change
things. Yeah, if there's something you don't like, that's how we'll
tell
learn
us about
to figure
it.
Out, oh man, maybe we're unaware of something that we're doing that you don't like.
And also, kind of harkening back to our first segment there where we were talking a little bit about online dating, if you have not done so, surf on out to modloveradio.com and put your name in the name and email in the little box at the top right-hand side of the page, and we will send you a free video series on how to create an online dating profile that actually gets you results. So if you're having trouble maybe I'm not getting anybody to respond to you, not getting anybody to contact you.
Yeah, or, you hear us say that you might get 100 dates in a year doing the numbers game, and you may be saying, I don't even get that many. Might be your profile.
Yeah, you might need to take a look at that profile. And sometimes you're getting a lot of action on the profile, but it's the wrong kind of people. And so we can help you, you know, these videos kind of address that.
Are you suggesting
as well.
There's some of the wrong kind of people on online dating? I don't think our listeners have experienced that, have you?
Every pot has its lid, and sometimes you're not getting the lid that fits you.
And some pots call the kettle black.
Yes, they do.
If we're going to start messing around with our metaphors here.
Before we get too far into metaphor land, let's dive into some sexual chemistry. So I've been kind of, again, doing a little bit of research, trying to figure out, you know, doing some topics around sexuality for this summer. And I found this interesting article on Your Tango that talked about sexual chemistry. And we've talked about different types of chemistry, but we've never really, you know, kind of dug down deep into what sexual chemistry really kind of is. And I thought they had some interesting signs of what sexual chemistry is, because I think a lot of times it's one of those things where you can, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, where you can, you know, I'll know it when I see it or I know it when I feel it, but you have no idea how to describe what it is. Does that make sense?
It does. And to me, this, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of, especially in this article, to me is a little magical talk, which
I
thought it was a little fluffy, only because I think we're trying to talk about something we don't really understand.
So we're
putting some easy to understand language about it, but I think it can be misleading, especially, you know, again, using the term chemistry, we don't have any belief that there are actual chemicals involved in between two people in this way that make two people perfectly matched for each other.
No. And I don't think even if there were chemicals, that's not ever going to tell you that you're perfectly matched.
Right. Like here, this article says, sometime the pheromones are so powerful that it actually pulls you towards them like a magnetic force. Yeah, not really. I mean, yes, you can be attracted to someone in that way, but you know, to me, again, being the somewhat anal retentive sciencey kind of guy, that makes me cringe a little bit because it's misrepresenting science. Anyway.
And it even goes on to say there's magic in the air.
Right, exactly. There is magic in the air. And I'm fine with saying we don't exactly know why it is, but we do know the signs that can help you understand if it's happening to you. So that's
still helpful. They want to talk about an overwhelming urge to be close, maybe even a nervousness.
Just like me, they long to be close to you.
And I knew you were going to break out into a Carpenter song.
How can
song.
You not? nervousness that you are not used to feeling.
Being aroused.
In the loin area.
Which I kind of giggled when I read that. I was like, come on now.
Like
what
a
are
little
we,
kid.
What are we, 12?
Right. An amazing urge to kiss them right there on the spot. That you're willing to sleep with them as quickly as possible despite your strong morals.
Now, you know, I think yeah, that's where a lot of people trip up with the sex thing, is because they do feel such a sexual connection with somebody sometimes, and they throw everything else out the window.
They'll let that override their sensibilities that say, but she's married, or
but she's not anything like I, you know, anything that I put on my list of what I wanted, or
right,
yeah,
or
but she's hot.
She's my boss, yeah. I mean, yeah. Any possibilities like that?
They also talk about a scent that's really alluring, and I have to say this, for me, if someone's scent is, and I'm not talking about cologne, but you know how sometimes like somebody just has a body scent.
Yeah.
If someone's scent doesn't, and it's not that it's a bad scent, but if it just doesn't feel right to me, I have a hard time being attracted to someone. And I know that sounds completely airy-fairy, and I cannot explain it, but someone's scent does have to do with whether or not I'm attracted.
When I was in second grade, there were these two freckled-faced boys. They were twins, and they had a smell on them. I mean, they're second graders, of course, but they had a smell that all I could ever equate to it was like the really cheap version. Like, we had Hostess was like the best treats, you know, for snacks.
Yes.
And Drake's were kind of second rate. But then there was always that third level stuff that you would see at the supermarket. And something about their body smell made us think that that's all they ate was that really cheap crappy junk food. So.
They smelled sweet, though? They smelled...
No, it was... it was really hard to describe. It just reminded you of cut-rate junk food, if you will.
Interesting.
Like I said, we know that smell is a very powerful driver for us. I mean, it keys a lot more of our memories than sights and sounds, from what I've read. And it's funny that just that is a smell I remember from them, and that's the only way we could describe it is that it was, so it was distasteful. It was not mm-hmm. something that you would say, hey, those kids smell good. It was always that, you know, you didn't want to hang out with them. It just had that wrong
scent. It smells wrong.
Right.
It smells wrong.
Right.
It's not always necessarily bad, but you know, I had a guy that I went out with, and we only went out a few times because
he smelled
the smell. But what I later realized what it was is I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker. But I was married to someone who smoked. And there's a smell that a smoker has, even if they don't smoke. It kind of almost comes out of your pores. It's like alcohol.
Right.
And this guy was a closet smoker, and he only smoked like 2 cigarettes a day. And he, you know, and he never smoked around me, and he never had any smoking on his breath or anything like that. But I just couldn't put my finger on the smell, and it was just like there was a smell, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what it was until I found a pack of cigarettes. And he's like, yeah, I let myself have 2 cigarettes a day. And I was like, that's what smell is.
Yes.
And yeah, I was completely turned off. So yeah, it smell is a big thing for me.
Now, have you ever had a chemistry like this with someone that you either did or did not date, but there's someone that you just wanted to constantly jump their bones? You were constantly in a state of heightened awareness every time they were around?
Yes. Yes. Actually, one was a friend with benefits.
Ah, there you go.
And there was nothing really there other than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were friends. We could be friends, but I don't think we would have been able to be anything other than sexual partners because we just weren't on the same, path, not on the right. same whatever. And so, yeah, there's people that you have that, oh my gosh, sexual chemistry with, that there's just nothing else there.
Right.
And it feels like, and they even talked about this in the article, like, that you kind of, you know, there's different ways that it manifests itself. Sometimes you feel blindsided by somebody. It's like instant. And then sometimes it tends to grow. And I think, at least for me with you and I think it was something that grew because mm-hmm. we were friends.
Right.
It wasn't the boom walk in the room. But, you know, I don't know that I ever have that boom walk in the room feeling with anybody.
Yeah, nor I.
Because I think emotionally neither one of us does that.
Yeah, we still have some shields up.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. But I think it's a logic thing, too. We're both so stinking stupid logical.
Right.
We're not going to go down that way. We're both going to be like, I don't trust that.
Right. You know, and sometimes, too, I think maybe the time in your life which you're at and the other things that are going on. You know, I was in, when you sent me this article to look through, I decided to take a look at some other stuff. And Psychology Today had a two-parter, one that goes into intense sexual chemistry and talks a bit about how some features in someone may be reminding us of impressions that were very favorable in our youth that may not have been sexual in our youth, but something that still that person kind of connects with. So there are some deeper memories that maybe they're we're connecting with. And if you don't have a lot of other baggage connected to that stuff, then it could be something that turns into something very powerful. And if you do have a lot of baggage, then there are some things there that still need to be kind of worked on if it's actually going to be something to last. I mean, I did have that, you know, high chemistry relationship as well at one time. And again, just like yours, it was one that was very clear, this is not going to last forever because we were on different paths. But, you know, there was that whole, all right, stop the elevator right now. You know,
yes.
You got the key to the broom closet, you know, wherever it was. I mean,
yes.
You just had that whole thing going on.
Now, did you try to have a relationship or were you like me and it was just...
No, we did. We did. But it was, I knew early on that, all right, this is not going to work. So it kind of became a friends with benefits sort of mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes you have to, I mean, I think a lot, and I think it's an emotional maturity thing too, is realizing when it's just sexual.
Right.
And a lot of people don't do that. They go off, they think that because you have the extreme sexual chemistry, well, obviously that means we're meant to be together, right? No, No, that's not.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I've made it clear I don't believe in the whole meant to be, because that suggests that, A, there's someone out there to mean it, and that is actually getting somehow involved, which kind of goes against free will and all that. So whether or not you believe in a supreme being, if you do believe in free will, then I think the whole idea that someone is meant for you kind of goes against that.
This is true, but it's such a cliched thing that we think and we say. It's that whole, oh, it was meant to be, and it,
right.
You know, and it's not necessarily the case. But kind of going back to what you were saying about the baggage, I think that's, coming from a clinical psych background, that is immediately what I would think of is, okay, am I attracted to this person? Am I feeling this because of a past relationship that I have? And am I going to try to work through some kind of crazy scenario with this person so that I can work through this baggage? And I think that's what makes me back up if I were to have that instant feel. I'm not saying that I never get instantly attracted to somebody, but I don't ever instantly go, I'm jumping into bed with that guy.
Right.
That's just not.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see a woman and immediately say, "Ooh, man, she's gorgeous," but I'm not actually going to try and do anything. A, because I'm in a relationship, but B, I mean, that's just not my style. I mean, because you don't want to end up in something that is just, you know, uncomfortable and wrong. So you take a little time. I'm a time taker.
I'm a time taker too. But they also gave you, there's some ways that, so, because they were kind of talking about in this particular article we were talking about, and again, we'll put this up on our website, is that, you know, sexual chemistry can somewhat wane over time. And I don't think it's so much the sexual chemistry that wanes. It's not the chemistry, the quote-unquote chemistry, as much as it is sometimes it's the lust factor that, you know, let's stop the elevator right now, go to the broom closet right now. I think after time and you become more comfortable with one another, it that part of it does somewhat go by the wayside, but you're still chemistry-wise, you're still very attracted to one another.
But yeah, sometimes, I mean, just life intrudes. You still have to go to your job. And as long as you don't work with that person, then, you know, you have some separation. You're dealing with your own stuff, you know, problems at work or what have you, or, you know, sitting in traffic for a while, or you got some family members who are, I don't know, asking for money, or mom is sick or something like that. And there's just so many things can interfere with that. So they do have some suggestions here on how do you keep that chemistry alive over the years? And that's exactly it. You have to keep it alive.
Right. They talk about maybe possibly putting notes or something sexy in their briefcase or their lunch bag, leaving sexy messages on their hotel voicemail if somebody's traveling, leaving notes under pillows and such as that. Small gifts.
There you go. Too. Yeah. If your partner likes small gifts, then do that. Sending a sexy email or a text, even if you live together. Say something sweet every day. Listen to what they would like to do and then surprise them with making it happen. And compliment their achievements, no matter how small.
I think we do a pretty good job of most of that.
I think we do hit most of those.
I think we do. I'm not necessarily a note leaver. You're not really a note leaver necessarily. But I think a lot of the other, because, well, we're constantly chatting with each other all day long. So, we don't. I mean, I can leave you a
Thank
note
Thank you,
on,
G-Chat.
Yes, G-Chat rocks. But then they talk about the four types of chemistry: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and that, you know, it's great if you have all of them. But again, I say there's one more. I say there's that technology one that people forget, that when they're emailing or they're chatting on the phone or whatever, somehow they always think that if they have that suddenly they're also going to be physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually connected, and that's not necessarily the case. But I think so many people also get so caught up in the sexual and the physical that they overlook the others.
Right.
You know?
But yeah, technologically, I think, you know, you could be a Facebook visual person and the other person is very short tweets, and, you know, you may just not be destined for each other.
Yes. Or the, I thought there was an interesting, and I think we've had this conversation on the show before about, you know, women who want to be called and versus men who kind of want to just text or whatever. And the conversation was, men, just call and ask me out. And you know.
And the men are like, women, just accept a damn text. We'll get out and we'll see each other face to face. Chill.
Exactly.
Chill out.
It was a push-pull kind of thing. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's again, technology is a tool. It's not... it's not something that you have to get all bent out of shape about, you know. But I do believe that that is another aspect of chemistry that people have that I don't necessarily believe fits into any of those categories they have there.
Could because, be the case.
Yeah, I think that's true. So with that, we're going to have to take another quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the advice that therapists often give their clients. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
So upset, he cried to her with whiskey on his breath.
This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
ModLoveRadio.com. Again, if you have not done so, surf on out there and check out the website and sign up to get our free videos that teach you how to set up an online dating profile. And if you're just joining us, we're in our third segment. And tonight in the third segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those common advice that therapists give to couples. And so I was kind of surfing around today trying to find some stuff to put here in the third segment. And I like the idea of kind of getting into the head of therapists sometimes who are constantly having couples come into their office. And, you know, what are some of the things that you find yourself saying over and over and over again to
couples? Right, because they see it all. I mean, they deal with people from all sorts of walks of life and backgrounds and the problems that they're experiencing that they hear and see so much that they can kind of compile a lot of their own learnings to kind of share with us and give us some ideas on what they find actually works for their people and what people are actually having a problem with. And I'll say right now, this particular article is actually in a slideshow form, so you may hear me clicking in the background as we go through the slides. That frustrates me. But
I do too. I hate those, but they were so good. I liked the tips themselves. But the first one there is don't.
It's all about the tips, about that tips.
The first one that they talk about is not always just going with the flow. Sometimes you got to direct the flow. And I cannot at all see that.
I know, right?
The white on the black.
You know, couples who are consistently satisfied with their relationship learn how to create their own flow. And the first step involves protecting their time together so that they can nurture their emotional and sexual connection. So I think the idea is that, you know, you do have to be kind of active and, you know, because life will just take you. It's like being out in a river.
Yeah.
If you're not paddling that boat, that river doesn't care if it slams you up against the rocks or grounds you on a sandbar or something like that. You can take advantage of the flow of the river, but you have to be steering and being very active in doing that. I mean, talk to anyone who does kayaking or canoeing and whatnot, and it's not a passive activity, and neither is going through life with a partner.
Absolutely, and you have to decide together, you know, which way are you steering this baby? You know, where are we going? How are we going to do with this?
Yes, we did the couple's kayak trip
a year and a half or so ago.
I forget if that was last summer or the summer before that. And they called, uh-oh, it's the divorce maker. And we didn't have a problem.
And there was only one time when I thought we were going one place and you thought we were going the other place. And so I'm trying to steer us in one direction. You were trying to steer us in the other direction. And finally, we're like,
oh, wait.
Wait, which way are you going?
It wasn't a fight.
It was just, oh, okay. It didn't, yeah. However, I guess if either of us had been very...
has to be my way.
Yes, then that would have been, but neither of us are really that attached
to... The idea was that we have to get around this sandbar so we can get to the more calm side of the ocean. Okay.
Yes, where
the
stinky
birds were. We go
right
or left. We're going right towards the middle right now. So either way is fine.
Yes. Just,
as long as we both pick one and go.
Just pick a direction. Right.
So this next one, pay attention to the issues that come up and come up again and again.
Oh, yes. I used to work for a marriage and family therapist back when I was in college, and I was kind of learning how to work with people. And one of the things that he was always very adamant about was, if you're continuing to have the same fights over and over again, you need to pay attention to what it is you're having fights about.
Right, because we tend to kind of cling to these old patterns because they're familiar. This is how we know how to deal with things. And it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, I think we're both kind of the same way in that we're both very passive. I did not grow up in a family that, argued all that much. I think if we were upset about something, we mostly just internalized it and kind of let it process and, basically pooped it out like old food or something. That is just the style that we do, but that's not always in certain relationships. That is not, while that's comfortable and familiar, that, it's much easier for me to not say anything and just let myself process it and let it go away versus, standing up and say something. But that's because that's comfortable and familiar for me, and it may not be the best thing for your relationship if you actually have an issue that needs to be dealt with.
That's true. And I think you're right. I think sometimes a lot of people will just kind of let it ride and let it fester. And if it's something that's festering, you absolutely need to have a conversation about it. You need closeness and intimacy. And I think we talked a little bit about this last week about that,
They're two different things.
Yeah, they're two different things.
And that you need both of them in a good relationship. The whole closest thing, right, is that whole low risk, low anxiety. You're just able to kind of hang out and just be comfortable with each other. And that's not the same as intimacy. Intimacy is more active. It can be...
can be sexual, but it doesn't always have to be.
Right, but it's certainly more energetic. Right, there's risk taking, there's newness, some spontaneity, but more high anxiety because you are taking risks. So there's always, what if I...
And it's vulnerability.
Right.
If you think about it, I mean, it's being vulnerable with somebody else because you're letting that person kind of see the parts of you that you may not think are all that pretty.
Right.
Or
that you're going to be judged about or that, he or she might be hurt if they know that I think that, because they'll think, what, aren't I, enough? Aren't I solving these things? And, and so you may be thinking that I can't really say that. So those moments of intimacy are when you do let your guard down and you do take those risks. On the other side, when someone opens up to you, that's your chance of being intimate, of accepting and understanding and being compassionate and not being judgmental.
Absolutely.
Speaking of compassion, put compassion first.
Yeah, and I noticed that that's something that you always do really, really well. You always, it seems to be very, I'm not going to say easy for you because I have no idea if it's easy for you, but you seem to very easily slip into compassion mode. You don't get really judgy on anybody.
I think it's important. It's a good way to manage my own emotions and... part of it is obviously the Buddhist method of, compassion first, but that really is, I think, the core belief in most of the religions. Jesus Christ certainly spoke about that, and we can kind of get, sidetracked by people who choose to pull other parts out of the Bible to enforce their own insecurities. But the bottom line is, love one another as yourself and, just love your neighbor. I mean, that's the whole thing. And that's the core of compassion right there, is recognize that everyone is struggling to just get through life and be happy. And it's not always easy.
About you.
Right. And when you can just kind of look at someone, when I see someone and they do something, that I think is stupid or wrong, it's so easy to get so frustrated. But then if I can relax, I feel better just myself. And I do like to feel good, not bad. And being compassionate towards someone makes me feel good.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It will make you feel better the more compassion you put out to others. It says, use anger to make your relationship better.
So I think in this case, there are times where you will be angry. And what you do with that anger can be positive or negative. You can channel that energy because you're angry because you care.
Right. If you didn't care, you wouldn't.
You would just blow it off. So when you're angry, that's a chance to start trying to, understand, why am I angry? What's wrong? And what needs to be changed so that I can, and then start making those changes. You have that energy right then. If you can identify what it is, start making those changes, rather than if you just kind of blow it off, that energy goes away and you missed your chance.
And I think, too, that with, like you said, you take that anger and you can use the energy, but always rather than, because what sometimes we have a tendency to do with our anger is we have a tendency to push it out on somebody else. You did this. It's your fault. You need to change. You need to whatever. But I think taking the energy and kind of sitting with it and thinking, okay, what can I do to make this situation better? Right. And it's not taking all the responsibility, but it is being aware of why you're angry, what your reactions are about, and sitting with yourself first before you start shoving that anger out at somebody else.
Right, because sometimes you can say, you know, I feel angry, and that's a perfectly legit feeling. You go with that. And why do I feel angry? I feel angry because she did this, and just doing something doesn't necessarily make me angry, but she did it, and that made me feel, that made me think that I was being, I don't know, mistreated, misunderstood, something like that, and start to get into, all right, so I don't like being misunderstood. Why am I not doing enough to be understood? That's maybe where the problem is, that right. I'm not feeling understood. How can I work with you to feel more understood? And from the partner's point of view, all right, maybe I'm not listening at times, and maybe I can understand that better and understand you better and work towards resolving that. But just being angry because you left the toilet seat up, it's not because of the toilet seat.
There's something behind.
There's something behind that, and you kind of have to get to that to, you know, kind of move forward. Because toilet seat's just
a toilet seat. Yes.
I don't even know what they're made out of anymore. Some man-made material. They're GMO toilet seats. You can always give your partner some grace.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this kind of goes back to the compassion, the grace, that the whole thing is, you know, so hard for me to read that from where I'm sitting, and I can't see. Can you help me out there?
Sure. If there's one thing that truly distinguishes thriving coupleships, it's each partner's ability to extend grace to the other. Grace allows us to accept ourselves and our partner as human beings who, despite our best intentions, are fallible and imperfect.
Yeah, and I think, too, that's another thing that the Bible talks a lot about.
Yes.
You know, is about grace. And, you know, it's not just something that a deity can give to you. You can give grace to other people. You can be merciful. You can, you know what? I know that he, bonehead that he is, left the toilet seat up again, which is probably what you're thinking. But let me just get off his back because I know he's been working really hard and he's really tired and, you know, and he probably did it in the middle of the night because he wasn't sleeping well. And let me just back off and put the toilet seat down and be okay about it. That's the idea of giving grace.
Or, you know, he spent 2 hours with the kids helping them with their homework after having a long day at the office. And he did kill that spider for me as well. So maybe the toilet seat's not that big of a deal compared to all the good things that he did or she did. You know, obviously it goes either way.
And I was going to say, like, for a woman, you know, sometimes maybe if a woman goes out and spends a little bit more money on clothes or whatever than a guy would like, but she did it because, you know, we were going out and she wanted to look really good because we were going out for dinner or whatever. And so, you know, sometimes that is a way to extend grace in issues like that.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Prioritize yourself for a better sex life.
Yes. I think it's very important sometimes that you actually... And I think they refer to it as polarization or polarized, which is probably has a bad connotation to it. But being able to focus on yourself sometimes and being able to tell your partner, hey, this is what I need, you know? And you know, speaking of sex, and being able to just say to your partner, can you do this for me? This is what I need. Maybe you need, if it's just a night that we just focus on me or a night that we just focus on you. I need this. And being able to say that and being able to prioritize yourself to say that is a really big deal.
I think you're right. And last but not least, give tough talks the time and attention they deserve. So
yeah, don't try to do it in the car on the way to work or
while the kids are, you know, around, running around, or, you know, shut down the laptop, turn off the TV. Whatever it is, but you will have those times where it's an important conversation to have, and you do need to give each other that undivided attention.
So don't try to do it after you've had a few beers.
Right, and they also say, you know, don't do it when you're, you know, climb into bed, you're tired, and, oh, honey, we need to talk. Really, right now, we just got down into bed. Can't wait till the morning or something. Like, well, I'll be up all night. Well, avoid that. Do it earlier. You know, yeah. make some time, but you know, waiting until you have, you know, gotten into bed and turned off the lights is not the best time either. Now, obviously, sometimes you just can't help it, but if you have any chance of pre-planning, plan for not doing it at that time.
And plan for not doing it if you know that your partner loves a particular TV show or a particular sporting event or something like that. Pick a time when the two of you can together decide we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about our finances or whatever it is, whatever that tough talk might be.
Yeah, halftime at the Super Bowl may not be the time. She wants to see who's ever singing and he wants to go see
The Doritos girls,
yes. I was trying to think of, do Victoria's Secret still do their fashion show at halftime on another channel?
Yes, I think they do.
Or stream it online or on whatever they're doing. But yes, so anyway, I think we're just about out of time. And we did make it through. That was all the top nine.
Yes, we did. We made it all. Look at us being all good and all. Look at that. Look at us.
Right.
But thanks, guys, so much for joining us this week. And again, go out and visit our website at modloveradio.com if you have not done so. And next week, we will be back with more sex talk for the summer.
So in the meantime, since it is still summer, no matter as long as you're in the Northern Hemisphere, go out and have some sex or stay home and have some sex. But have some sex.
Have some good sex.
Good sex.
Thanks for listening, guys. You've been listening to
Mod Love.